All right, our next guest is Paul Dell'Aquila, president of Defiance ETFs, who currently offers three ETFs, including one of the most successful new ETF launches this year, the Defiance Next Gen Connectivity ETF, ticker symbol 5G, F-I-V-G. Paul is now joining us via phone from Philadelphia. Paul, great having you on the show this week. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nate, and thanks for having me on your program.
So let's start with the 5G ETF that's just launched in March. It already crossed over $100 million in assets, certainly a nice ETF success story this year. First, I know a lot of people are familiar with the term 5G, but not everyone may know exactly what this technology is. Do you want to explain some of the basics here before we get into the ETF itself?
Sure, I'd love to scale it for your listeners. So 5G is the next iteration of wireless technology, so the next generation. So to scale that, if you think about your old flip phone, 2G essentially gave you the ability to send a text message. 3G was able to get you on the internet, and 4G is where we are currently. So you have the ability to watch videos and stream different items on your cell phone. 5G is going to take it to the next level. So it's going to be much faster, up to 10 times faster right out of the gate than your initial 4G technology. There's going to be less latency, which means you're going to have a lot more speed and control. And lastly, it's going to be able to connect a lot more devices. So you're going to have this next generation of technology hitting wireless communication, but it's also going to connect things like machines, autonomous driving, and taking to that next level of even smart cities.
Okay, so with that as the backdrop, now take us through the 5G ETF. What exactly does this hold, and how are those holdings weighted?
Sure. So twofold answer here. One, the constituent list, when we created it, we wanted to make sure that we were capturing the entire build-out of 5G. I often get asked, what are the best stocks to play for 5G? I think it's difficult to capture the whole 5G ecosystem with just one equity because you're going to be seeing so much build-out here. So for us, we have things like mobile network operators, so Verizon, AT&T, et cetera. So those companies most people are familiar with. We also have infrastructure plays, so things like Crown Castle and American Tower, which are going to be REITs, which are going to be part of that cell phone and essentially the cell tower build-out that will be happening with 5G. We also have the semiconductors in there for the chip manufacturing, the cell phones. And our biggest component is what we call core equipment, which is radio access equipment. So essentially think high-end routers for communications and data centers. So companies like Nokia, Ericsson, Xilinx would be one of those as well.
Okay, and then in terms of the weighting methodology, what does that look like?
So we gave the biggest weighting to the companies that we felt were going to have the biggest impact on 5G and ultimately the biggest impact to their bottom line. So our biggest weighting is that core equipment group. 50% of the constituencies are going to come from that group. Mobile network operators and REITs make up 25%. We have a category called network optimization, which will essentially be like a Cisco Systems making up 15%. And the last category is going to be enhanced mobile broadband, which are essentially the chip manufacturers. So again, Xilinx is an example there at a 10% weighting. Keep in mind, we rebalance twice per year. So late June, third week of June, as well as the third week of December. So we rebalance twice per year. No constituent can have more than 5%. At a rebalance. So it can drift beyond that intra rebalance, but no more than 5% at rebalance. And we think that's an important note because as you build out this thematic ETF world, to us, we don't want two or three names, some of those bigger market cap names driving the overall performance of the ETF. We want to ensure investors have a robust exposure to what they're trying to build out here and do it in a way that's going to be diversified across large, mid, and small.
Okay, so let's talk more about the overall investment case for 5G. And I guess first, where is 5G technology just in terms of the rollout process? How widely available is it right now?
So around 40 cities in the United States have it. And now, again, when they have it, there's a little bit of definition of what that means. So they're starting to have some home access. You're going to start seeing 5G pop up on your cell phone, depending on your provider and carrier in certain cities. But around 40 cities are having it right now in some way, shape, or form as far as the initial build-out. Now, it's really not going to be a 2019 story in our eyes. It's really going to be 2020 and beyond, because you're going to be able to touch and feel the technology much more going into next year than this year. You will see some more cell phones rolling out. So if anyone uses Android, you're going to start seeing that roll out in the second half of the year more and more. Apple's going to be a little bit further down the road. It's not going to be this iteration of the iPhone that has 5G, at least that's what the rumors are saying. It's going to be a 2020 version that has that. So 2020 is really going to be the year you start to see a bigger lift from the 5G technology.
Paul, this is Jason Lank. For many investors, their first reference point to the build-out of 5G is, frankly, the headlines. The national security considerations from the administration have been, you know, well-written about. Where do we stand on that? What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a big deal. You saw that initial pop. I mean, one of the biggest influx of interest we had in our ETF was when President Trump was talking about 5G back in April. So I think it's a big deal. The second part of that, and one of the way I'd answer that, is this is a global phenomenon. So it's not just the U.S. You have China obviously being involved. You have places in Europe being involved. So this is a global phenomenon. It's one of the first time just about every cell phone carrier is focused on the exact same build-out. So there are some security concerns there. What I will say to it, the U.S., per the administration, is going to lead the charge here. We might be a little bit behind certain areas right now, but we're giving a ton of money into this technology and the build-out. So I think the U.S., like many things, is going to be a leader in the 5G technology.
Paul, as 5G continues to expand, can you maybe give us a few examples of how that might directly benefit some of the holdings in the ETF?
So what we tried to do, and it's a great question, is ensure that the future revenue streams of the companies that we're investing in are going to benefit from 5G. So I may have mentioned them, I think I did, Nokia and Ericsson. So these are almost afterthought technology companies. These are cell phone providers from, you know, 10, 15 years ago. They're making big bets on 5G. And if you actually read any earnings reports from some of the companies we have in here, they're already pointing to revenue streams as a benefit from this 5G build-out. So we think it's going to be much more beneficial for these companies as it goes on. But we try to make sure that the companies that we have in our fund are going to directly benefit from this 5G build-out.
Is there any threat to 5G, some other technology that might come along and supplant it, you know, 6G or whatever? Or
sure.
If not, what are the primary risks in this space?
So if you think about 3G, 2009-10 is when that was fully built out. So you have about a decade. Everything we've read and done research on, 2030 would be a 6G initiative. So you're going to have a better part of a decade. And that's what I think is the cool part of 5G right now. It's not a 2019 story. This is a multi-year build out, and you're going to see that for future years and beyond. As far as threats, you have a little bit of positive news, I guess, today with some of the pullback on tariffs in China. I don't think trade wars are necessarily good for anybody as far as this space goes, because, you know, China, U.S., and really the rest of the world are also intertwined on this. And we do have some higher beta stocks, higher volatility stocks in our portfolio with some of the chip manufacturers. So risk assets, when they sell off, that could be a little bit detrimental to 5G, at least in our ETF. So, you know, I think it's in both countries' best interest as far as China and U.S. to settle this, to ultimately get to a point where there's a benefit to both nations in doing these trade deals. So ultimately, that's our biggest risk. I think the technology is coming. People are going to start feeling it. And if you think about the way consumers digest information content right now, that cell phone is such a critical part of everyone's day. 5G is going to be a technology that impacts just about everybody.
Our guest is Paul Dell'Aquila, president of Defiance ETFs. Paul, I did want to ask you about your other two ETFs, the Defiance
Sure.
Quantum ETF, ticker QTUM, that focuses on quantum computing and machine learning, and then the Defiance Next Gen Video Gaming ETF, ticker VIDG. And, you know, I'm curious, just looking at these three ETFs together, 5G, quantum computing, and video games, you can see some of the threads running through these, right? Obviously, video games are streamed online. There's cloud gaming that's supported or can be supported by 5G. Those games can certainly incorporate machine learning elements into them. Did launching one of these ETFs then lead you down the path towards the others?
Yeah, so our whole premise at Defiance is to focus on the next generation of investors. And that really is ensuring that we are at the cutting edge of, you know, in this case, technology. It's not always going to be technology, but right now, I think these three items that you're just talking about are three of the fastest growing areas in the world of technology. So if you take even gaming, for instance, it's changed a lot since I played video games as a kid. Real quick example, the League of Legends, a very popular game, that final that happened, the championship final that happened in April in St. Louis, had 100 million streams of people viewing that event. The Super Bowl had 98 million people watch it. So if you think about that for a second, you're talking about a global phenomenon as far as how people are digesting content, and it's away from maybe television and movies and going more to watching people play video games. So I think esports is a huge, huge benefit of something like 5G. So how it can benefit is really, you think about streaming, you think about latency. Latency, essentially, for layman terms, is really, if you call for a command, it's the delay or the response that that action is performed. So if you have a low latency, that really benefits video games, because gamers want to be able to make an impact at a move right away and see that reflected on the screen. So that's one of the ways it's going to happen. Also, for esports, 5G is essentially going to eliminate wires. So if you think about even your Wi-Fi at home, it's going to be disrupted. 5G is going to be able to provide that capability and do it much faster. So even when they're setting up these venues for esports, they take a tremendous amount of wires, a tremendous amount of connections. 5G is going to be able to make that much, much faster. The way we look at 5G for the future technologies, it's really going to be the central nervous system of all future tech.
Paul, I've heard that quantum computing and machine learning are topics and really concepts that could be some of the most disruptive technologies invented in a long, long time. Just for our listeners, give us an example of where quantum computing or machine learning may turn an industry or a process upside down.
I mean, even if you look at our world of finance, portfolio managers, the way people look at stocks and select equities.
What, you mean my job?
Exactly. I mean, really. So I was a former, I worked for the biggest asset manager in the world for a number of years. Number of portfolio managers were essentially complemented with machine learning technology, right? So it's not necessarily a replacement, but it is an overlay to it. And essentially, if you think about even looking at an annual report or a 10-K, a machine can go through those things at a very, very fast clip and be able to pull data and certain keywords that you might be wanting to search for at a very, very higher speed of rate and do it much, much faster than a human being could ever do. So you're already seeing in something like financial services. And these are going to be disruptive technologies. And if you look at it too, we mentioned China and U.S. as well. Quantum technology is one of the biggest areas of investment for both China and U.S. So Congress passed last year the National Quantum Initiative Act, which essentially gives funding to be able to produce this type of technology. So you see companies like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, defense contractors involved with this. But then you also see companies like Google and IBM, some of the more traditional computer companies that are also involved. So there's some of the bigger players in the world that are getting involved in this. And this is not going to be something you're going to see in 2020 or maybe even 2021. But over the next decade, you're going to be able to see this technology impacting our lives pretty much in a lot of different ways.
Paul, just a minute left here. High level, what do you view as the role of thematic ETFs like 5G or video games in a portfolio?
I love the question. And the way I see investors accessing it and the way we talk about it, it's a core complement. So if you think about the core part of your portfolio, you're going to have your S&P 500, your bar cap ag, your EFA type of exposures that are sort of, you know, locked in, and you might be rebalancing a couple times a year, but they're going to stay pretty static. We're looking to complement the core. And if you think about investment advisors, if you think about RIAs, you think about financial advisors, their jobs are more challenging than ever because they're not just charged with running an investment portfolio. They're charged with financial planning, estate planning, and all these other items. It leaves less time for security selection. So more and more, we see advisors, we see financial professionals using thematic ETFs to complement the core of the portfolio in that hunt for alpha, right? So we don't think this hunt for alpha or excess return is ever going to change. People are always going to want that. But the way people go about sourcing it, we believe, is changing. And thematic ETFs are going to be able to play a bigger role in that part.
Well, Paul, really enjoyed the conversation. Congratulations on the success of 5G so far, and best of luck on everything you're building at Defiance. Thanks for joining us.
We really appreciate it, and thank you for having us on the program.
That was Paul Dell'Aquila, president of Defiance ETFs.